Hey, Marvel Maniacs, welcome to another exciting episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 174. We're recording this on August 9th, 2021. Just a reminder, Guardians of the MCU is part of the Random Chatter Network. Please do check us out at randomchatter.com for information on all of our shows, membership through Patreon, access to the Escape Hatch Discord channel, and show merchandise from TeePublic. And I got through that without saying any inappropriate words. Yay me. Yay. I'm Tim. I can actually speak tonight. Joining me tonight, we have a full house once again.
Hi, it's me, Sheba.
Yeah. Yep. Go ahead. This is good.
Hi, it's me, Sheba.
We need another one.
DJ Tanner.
Okay, that works.
Tim, I wouldn't go so far as to count your chickens before they're hatched on speaking tonight.
Uncle Jesse's here.
Yes.
Hey.
Yeah. Have mercy.
Yeah, the show has just begun, so chances are I will inevitably screw something up. It was a very, very light news week. Mm-hmm. So we are going into the premiere of What If, which is going to be Wednesday morning. And hopefully everyone caught our discussion with Sarah Irwin last week. This week, our second episode of the week is going to be a discussion with Brianna, who has been on the show before, and she was the stand-in on Loki for Sofia DiMartino. So we kind of got two-thirds of Sylvie. I'd love to say that we'll be talking to Sofia DiMartino sometime soon, but I don't know that for sure. But I guarantee the request has been submitted.
We're trying to manifest it. That's all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, if you don't do it, it's a definite no.
True.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You got to ask. You got to ask.
Exactly.
Yep. All right. So yeah, we might as well we'll get to it. We have a little bit of a discussion and a little bit of rumor milling about that we'll catch. So with that, folks, on to our news. All right, first up, Dave Bautista says that he was never asked to voice Drax for What If.
I mean, I don't know, because I know that there are a few characters that are not voiced by the MCU actors or actresses. Mm-hmm. I know that Robert Downey Jr. isn't playing Tony. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a few other people that I can't remember now, but I don't know if they asked him and he said, if Robert Downey Jr. said no himself. Or if they were just like, hey, he's too busy, we're going to just hire somebody else. If that was the case, then you know, Dave Bautista shouldn't feel so bad, because, hey, if they didn't ask Robert Downey Jr., kind of, you know, it is what it is kind of thing. But that would be really sad, because Dave Bautista is Drax in my mind. And if it's the person who is voicing Drax sounds very different than Dave Bautista, you can kind of recognize it's not. It feels like it sounds a little weird. Even in the trailer, just hearing the voice actor for Tony Stark, I was like, that's not Robert Downey Jr. And it's going to take a second for me to get used to it, because I'm so used to things that are MCU related having Robert Downey Jr. in there, that it is going to take a minute for me to kind of get my head around that. So that's probably what's going to happen with Drax for me. At least.
I would generally agree. And I think it's going to be hard, especially when you've got some coming in, some coming not.
Mm-hmm.
But also growing up and even still having, I mean, how many people have voiced Batman or Superman?
Bugs Bunny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so it's, I think it's going to be weird, but then again, you know, you go back to the Clone Wars, I'm pretty sure Ewan McGregor did not voice Obi-Wan in Clone Wars. I don't know for certain,
He did not.
That's I was going to say that's part of the point is I don't know if he did or not.
Mm-hmm.
I was guessing he didn't, but it didn't distract me from it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think as long as you're right. It doesn't really matter. We've seen that happen in cartoons before and stuff. So it'll just take a second, maybe the first episode or the first time to just get used to it, but it shouldn't be that big of a deal.
I think voice acting is a different skill. It's a different area of acting. And I think it takes a completely different set of skills. And I'm actually surprised they went with the actors themselves to voice it, because it is a very different field and a very just usually you see them get different people to do it because it's just very different. So it's interesting that they wouldn't have been consistent with at least making the ask across the board. But I think that for a lot of characters, and Drax is one of those super character-y characters that maybe they want to go more dramatic with the voice, then you go with a voice actor because that is their whole skill set, is knowing how to convey those things on the screen with their voice.
I'm guessing that they probably didn't ask Robert Downey Jr. because he would be too darn expensive.
For sure. And I don't think Chris Evans is doing it.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. Dave Bautista, I'm not sure why they, wouldn't have asked him. I don't know that he necessarily has any experience doing voice acting, though I'm pretty sure there's a lot of the other actors, don't have any experience doing it. So it was one of those interesting things because it all transpired. This whole thing came out on social media where there was, I think someone had asked him why he wasn't voicing Drax. He responded, I think this was on Twitter. He responded that he was never asked. And then even James Gunn responded with what? He was incredulous about the fact that Dave didn't get asked. So
I will say, out of everyone, I'm glad they asked Chadwick now, because it's going to be really wonderful to hear his voice and heart. Yeah. But out of everybody, I'm just glad that Chadwick is in there more than anybody else, really, honestly.
and his the intonations that he used for T'Challa was just so absolutely unique that know that anyone else could really do it exactly like that.
Yeah, I think that one would be weird.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to it. It's coming out in 2 days, less than 2 days, 36 hours from now. I have, when they first announced it, I was just kind of all right, that's cool. That's fine. But now that we had this set up from Loki, I'm even more excited about it. And I'm really looking forward to what they're going to do. So Ryan Reynolds says that, quote, there is a pretty darn good chance that he'll be filming Deadpool 3 next year. There it is.
Yay! I'm excited about that. And I wonder if he'll make any more jokes, because in the first Deadpool, he made jokes about, the X-Men mansion was completely empty and there was nobody there and they could only hire the two X-Men that were there. So I wonder if he'll make any more jokes like, hey, now that we're part of Disney, why don't we have more people in it? Or they will actually have cameos. I'm interested to see what happens.
I fully suspect. Just because that is Deadpool. You open up a Deadpool comic and Deadpool in the comics is making fun of stuff that Marvel does.
Mm-hmm.
So I fully expect that, we're going to get wow, I really expected that effect to be better because, we're with Disney now and they have money for it. stuff with that or that's the actor that we got.
People.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think they're going to more poke fun at even more so that nobody's there or, well, crap, now we had two Xaviers, now there's three. They'll have a field because none of those people are cast.
Yeah. So Kate Herron She was the director for Loki for the first season. We know that she is not coming back for the second season, which I think is unfortunate. She did like such an incredible job. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we shouldn't let that sour us to the second season. She's kind of hypothesizing a little bit. And I don't think that she necessarily knows anything about the story for season two. I think she's just kind of going along for the ride, basically like the rest of us of, hey, here's everything that we had in season one. Here's this momentum. Where do I think this is going to go? So she says in this interview, so the way I see it in my head is that the TVA exists outside of space and time, but reality and everything as we understood it has completely changed in the last few minutes. Speaking of the last few minutes of the finale. With the multiverse branching, how do we know the TVA still exists in that way? We don't know. And I suppose that's a big question that'll be answered as the show goes on. But in my head, the intention is that Sylvie thinks she's sending Loki back to the TVA. But because of the way time and branches are crossing each other outside the window, Loki has unfortunately been sent back somewhere very different. So reality has shifted just by the nature of what He Who Remains said. And the idea is that he's in this alternate TVA now. That's a very different way of looking at it. Cause I think when mm-hmm. we kind of debriefed from the finale, I think our supposition and guys, correct me if I'm wrong, was that simply the reality of that TVA had changed. And what she's saying here is that basically there's another TVA.
Yeah. And I think somebody on, I think TikTok I had seen had kind of mentioned that. It was more like they were saying that he got sent back to another timeline and it wasn't the one that he was used to. So I think that's been kind of in my mind too. So what Kate Herron is saying kind of makes perfect sense to me and sounds like it would probably be the premise of the second season and would be a really cool part of the second season if that's the case as well.
She does kind of contradict herself though, because she starts off saying that in my head, the TVA exists outside of space and time, which is kind of also, that's basically the premise that was set up for us in the TVA. So regardless of right. what sacred timeline there is or any of these other branches or anything like that, the reality that the TVA exists in is just it. That's it. And so you can come to it from any direction, from any timeline, from any branch, and you're still going to come back to the same TVA.
Yeah, but we also know that there was a lot of subterfuge by the TVA about their very nature, about who even ran it. So like, that may be what they told everybody, but that might not actually be the case.
True.
Very true.
John, any thoughts?
It confuses me. I read some of those same articles and I'm like, I don't even know what's happening here. There's no more timeline, thank God, but it made me more confused.
We need that the time book.
I'm sorry, everyone. I'm very sorry for asking John about anything that's related to alternate time.
All the lines crisscrossing the way they did it, that actually makes sense. Cause I'm like, cool. Nothing makes sense. And you can say everything. Oh, multiverse.
You know, no time questions for John.
No, it's a little bit easier, but then like you throw in like the TVA and that comment. I'm like, they're not on a sacred. Are they on a timeline? Are they on a gazillion timeline? They have to almost be on a gazillion timelines. But then they can't be on it. So I don't know. I don't know. It hurts. It hurts.
it feels to me like the TVA is an island. And so all these, you know, creeks and streams can flow around it. And you have, you know, things coming into the lake and all that kind of stuff. But the TVA is still just there. It's always there. It doesn't matter what the water does around it. The TVA is always that island.
I don't know. He Who Remains is. I don't think the TVA mm-hmm. is.
I feel like, yeah, I think Remains just kind of created it. Yeah, I feel like he created it to make it seem that way, but in reality, it could literally be anything.
Right, especially with the knowledge that he's plucked random humans from their timelines and gotten rid of their memories and put them in the TVA, then we don't know what's real. We just know that the palace in the void and where He Who Remains is the thing that is sort of like outside of it. But the TVA itself doesn't have to be.
John?
Don't ask John.
John, do you think that Lizzie is real?
I've met her. That's
nothing wrong.
I've given Lizzie a hug before.
Which Lizzie did you meet, John?
Listen, she who remains cannot tell her secrets.
So, I mean, it's kind of the thing that I really like and appreciate about this, because any of these discussions around time, it's you can't like pinpoint anything. And I like that as a fan, that this is something that we don't have an answer to. And I'm okay with that. Because there is so much uncertainty.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like how everybody's mind broke about the Avengers time travel situation. And it was like, it's not like Back to the Future. It's not like time. What's the time hot water bath one?
Hot tub time machine. Time machine.
That's the one.
The water bath.
Hot water bath. I like your title better. I'm going to use it now.
That's fantastic.
I don't remember the name of it. And like all these other time travel things. And it's like, nope, not like that. Not like that. Which how many of us have like considered time travel through those lenses as we've grown up? Like we don't have any other, we're not Stephen Hawking. We're not like experts in string theory. So we don't necessarily, we haven't hypothesized our own ideas of time. All we know of time is these movies and these TV shows that have dealt with it. If you're looking at Doctor Who, if you're looking at just anything that's like something like Lost that like is interesting because you're looking at like a sideways time hop. It's like that's our only understanding of time travel. And then here comes Avengers and it's like none of those are right. And it's so interesting to like try to flip what we know about time travel based on our only access to knowledge about time travel is our pop culture. And even Avengers goes against its own rules. So it's kind of interesting that now Loki comes in and is like, nope, that's not right either. So I think I'm with you, Tim. I think it's really fascinating. I think it like really offers a lot of theories and a lot of options to like really dig in and like just try to like excavate out what it could possibly be and probably also be wrong, which is fun to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. So prior to like last week, at least from what I noticed, promotional stuff that we were getting from Marvel on Shang-Chi was always saying only in theaters on September 3rd. Now, in the last week, there have been two promotional pushes that I know of from Disney/Marvel on this. And maybe I'm just reading way, way too deep into one word being missing. But the ones they're putting out, this happened last week, and I mentioned this to John. I'm like, hey, am I nuts? And then it happened again today. And the phrasing that they're using, they drop the word only. And so they're putting in theaters on September 3rd. So maybe they will put it up on Disney Plus. Maybe they won't. What do you guys think they should do though?
I really do appreciate having both Disney Plus and in theaters, like the simultaneous release option. Not just because, you know, I love going to theaters, and if I have the opportunity to go see Shang-Chi, I will go see it in theaters because I really want to have that experience and I love it. But I also have, you know, family, friends, or family members who sometimes they can't go out to the theater and go to see it. I mm-hmm. would like to have an option to be able to, you know, purchase the movie, to watch it as many times as I want, at least to kind of, in a small way, support whatever movie I may not be able to go see, maybe opening night or things like that. I can at least watch it, you know, at home. On top of that, at least in Canada, our numbers have been, they've been steady, but now they're going back up again. And people are saying there's going to be a fourth wave in September. So we're still not sure if what our opening situation is now is going to continue all the way until September and is going to stay that way. They may shut everything down again and we may not be able to go back to the theater again. Mm-hmm. And in that case, it would be really terrible if we had to wait, or I had to wait, to be able to support the movies that I want to support because I can't go to theaters. So I like having both of those options.
They're not going to do
that. I know.
I think threefold. Number one, they desperately want not to do it. They want not mm-hmm. to do it so bad that mm-hmm. they were like, let's not even renegotiate contracts with Scarlett on the off chance that maybe we won't have to, because they were mm-hmm. pushing so hard not to till the last minute. And it mm-hmm. bit them in the butt, clearly. And, you know, and so that's, you know, it's, that's the two of the folds right there, that like the actors are going to start coming back. I mean, and saying like, you have to actually take this seriously, that the world has changed. You can't just live in Disney World, to be fair. Mm-hmm. And, and say that like everything is fine. And I think the language is really interesting because of the third thing is that everything is ramping back up, and it's super careless of them to not take it into consideration, especially mm-hmm. think about, again, and I've said it a million times, HBO's over here like, yeah, it's available, the end. No conversation, yeah. No debate, no let's renegotiate contracts. No, it's yep. all already up front. It was the smartest thing they ever did, and mm-hmm. it's insane that Disney's trying so hard to yeah. fight streaming with both hands when yeah. it is obviously not even just the wave of the future, which it is, by the mm-hmm. way, but it's actually protection of people and yeah. their health. It's stupid yeah. and it's careless and it's insane.
I agree with a lot of what Sheba and Lizzie are saying. I mean, they need to, streaming is not going to go away. I do commend it, and Lizzie, I hadn't thought about it when you're like HBO's approach of just we're streaming, the end.
Yeah.
And just kind of taking it. And Suicide Squad's numbers over the weekend sucked. I mean, they were not good numbers from a box office perspective. And I mean, Tim and I had this conversation. If Shang-Chi, and I know I just said it wrong, and Sheba just prove my own message to you, is in theaters only, I'm not going to see it. Like mm-hmm. I'm not comfortable. I'm not ready to go into a theater. So if Disney puts it up for $29.99 again, sure. Mm-hmm. But yep. at the same time, I do agree. They need to make it right with not just the actors and actresses, but everyone involved in the movie that gets paid based on box office dividends, because it's not mm-hmm. like that money doesn't exist. It's just that mm-hmm. that money's going to Disney in a different way. And how many Scrooge McDuck vaults of gold do they need?
Mm-hmm.
So completely agree. They need to figure out how to make it right. I agree with you, Lizzie. They're not the best at doing it. We've talked about that before. You know, so I don't know what the solution is, because if they're not going to make it right for, you know, the actors and actresses, you know, the, to a degree, the responsible thing is to say, well, you know what, I'm not going to contribute money to your platform that's just literally going to, you know,
yeah,
your executives and everything else. But at the yeah. same time, I'm not going into a theater to see the movie. So the end solution is I don't see the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the big thing here is simply the kind of the moral obligation to society. It, you know, as has been said, you know, September 3rd, September 3rd can come and go, and I'm not going to be in a theater. I'll tell you that. I was looking forward to it. There was a good chance of it. A couple months ago, I was saying, hey, yeah, this is going to be the first movie I'm going to see in a theater.
Well,
100%. Now, yeah. And now that we're seeing this other variant of of coronavirus kicking up everywhere.
You know who's to blame for this? Sylvie.
Yeah.
Because she broke the sacred timeline, and now there are variants everywhere. Did I get that right?
Yes, yep. John. You did. Yep. Congratulations. You did.
I finally figured it out.
So, now that that's kicking back up, I think that it would simply be irresponsible of Disney to not be putting this up, to not make this accessible, because that's what it's really about, is making this accessible to people. And it's not like they're necessarily losing money on it. Charge the $30. I will gladly pay it so I can sit in the comfort and safety of my own home and enjoy and watch the movie. They have to read the room. They got to take a look at the environment, look around and see what's happening and recognize that things are going back into shutdown mode. People don't want to be going out and wearing masks. I'm going out less now into public spaces. And when I do, I'm absolutely wearing a mask again and I'm vaccinated.
Yep.
I don't want to get sick. I don't want to carry the damn thing. I don't want to give it, chance giving it to someone else who isn't.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's what needs to be done. It's the responsible thing for them to do. So,
and like here in Canada, we were still wearing our masks the whole time, regardless. They didn't when people got vaccinated and double vaxxed, there was nobody told us, hey, okay, you can take off your mask now. We were still wearing our mask regardless. I went to the movies this Thursday very cautiously, and luckily there was like maybe 15 people in the theater, and we were so spread apart that I could barely look at the other people that were near me. So I was like, all right, this is okay. I still wore my mask the entire time. I didn't take it off because I'm like, I don't feel comfortable doing it, but I don't know what it's going to be like in September. Like the numbers are going up. I know that even like for us here in Canada, the numbers are going up slowly. And the more the borders open up, people start traveling internationally, it's going to spread even faster. So if Disney's thinking, hey, you know what, we'll be fine and everything's going to be back to normal, it's not going to be back to normal. And they really need to just figure out what to do, because it's making them look real bad right now.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's too bad. And I'm not holding my breath for it, because I agree, Lizzie. I don't expect that they will, although I really wish that they would. So so to wrap up the show, just a quick rumor that we have out there is that and I'm seeing this from multiple sources. And it's not coming from like the super reliable sources, but it's also not coming from the, dredges of society either. Is that there may be a Werewolf by Night series on Disney Plus. The relevance of this, Werewolf by Night is another fairly obscure character. The relevance of this, though, is that one, obviously a supernatural oriented type of character. And Moon Knight also had his first appearance in a Werewolf by Night comic. So we're seeing some intersections coming about here. This is kind of further reinforcing with maybe the direction they take Moon Knight in, if they kind of take that supernatural lean toward it. Obviously, we've got Doctor Strange. We have Blade coming up. Continued rumors about Ghost Rider. Bring Werewolf by Night into it. Maybe some other characters. And, we are building then a pretty solid supernatural group of characters in the MCU, which I think is really exciting. This could be the Midnight Suns or the Spirits of Vengeance or, basically whichever direction that they want to take this. So I'm pretty excited about it. And it's a pretty cool character. Even though the name of the person who turns into the werewolf is Jack Russell. It's just the damn funniest thing that every time that character comes up and someone will say, "Hey, Jack," I'm like, "Oh crap. Yeah. His name is Jack Russell." I love it. All right. Well, thanks folks for joining us once again. Do stay tuned later this week for episode 175 with Brianna Darnell. And we will also have an episode of MCU TV coming out later this week. We'll be talking about the first episode of What If. And other than that, we will catch you next week here on Guardians of the MCU. Take care.